in order to understand Yirmiyah, let's go through the different, you know, what different people when they came in. We know that Chizkiyo was the king, right? He was officially king for the extra 15 years. You know, the 15 years that he lived extra was altogether, I think it was 23 altogether. Menashe then came up instead, came up in after he died, and he ruled for 55 years. We all know that Menashe was an evil person. 22 years of rule, he was taken captive. He did tshuva that year. After the next 23 years of his kingdom, right, he was a new man and did different things. But 55 years Menashe reigned, the second to longest kingship of all time. Yosef HaTzadik. Interesting, right? Rav Victor Miller calls it 71. Yeah, but he says it. He does say Rav Victor Miller says he's the longest. Yeah, no, it's cool.
You don't like that.
Yeah. No, it's a cool trivia question. Out of all kings of all time, how many will be there? So now, that's that. It says 55 years of Menashe. During that time of Menashe and Chizkiyah, the following Nevi'im ruled. Yoel, Nahum, and Chavakuk. Those are the prophets during that time. Yoel, Nahum, and Chavakuk. Okay? Amon and Yehoshia came after that. When Menashe died, Amon ruled the land, but he was an evil king, and he was assassinated after 2 years altogether by his own servants. Those assassins were put to death, and they brought Yoshiahu as his successor. Yoshiahu at the time was 8 years old. He ruled the land for 31 years and he fell in battle against the Egyptians in Paro Necho. When he was 16 years old, Yoshiah began to seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the age of 20, he started to cleanse Yehuda and Yerushalayim of all the bumos that were there. In the 13th year of his rule, this is before, again, Yoshiahu was 20 years old, which means he was reigning now for 12 years. When he started taking down the Bamos, the next year when Yoshiah was 21, he was now king for 13 years, that's when Yirmiyahu started to prophesy. He continued to do it during the remaining years of Yoshiah's reign, and afterwards, during his sons and grandsons, right, rule after that. What's up?
Is Yoshiah the one that had he sung that song?
No, Chizkiyahu.
That song.
That was that. Yoshiah was the one who was gonazed the Sefer Torah, realizing that the Beis Hamikdash was about to be destroyed. The Aram, I should say that. You're right. We're about to get that. Yeah, Chilkiyahu, the Kohen Gadol, in the 18th year of Yoshiah's rule. This is when he is altogether 26 years old. 26 years old. Yirmiyah has been around for 5 years already. That's when he informed Shaphan, the Sofer, that he had found the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu in the base of Mikdash, open to a certain area. Shaphan went and told him to Yoshiah. Yoshiah tore his clothing, realizing they were doing something wrong. And that year, Yirmiyah brought back many of the exiled tribes. There were many people from the Gullius, right, the original Gullius of Klal Yisrael, who were being brought back from all the different areas by Yirmiyah. In the 31st year of his rule, Paro Necho came. He died at the Battle of Megiddo. That's what happened to Yoshiah. Yirmiyah is still alive. What were you going to say, Eddie?
So what's the time relation between Yirmiyah and Yeshiah?
Yeshaya, if we remember, was about 40 or 50 years before that. Yeshaya lived during the times of Chizkiyah as well, but he died by the hands of Menashe. Menashe killed him, and if anybody remembers correctly, Chizkiyah married Yeshaya's daughter.
Right.
Right? So that means that Menashe killed his own grandfather.
Chizkiyah was
going
to die.
Zadie, and that's when he said, give me your daughter. So Menashe killed his Zadie. That was Yeshaya. So Menashe killed him. So during that time when there was still, again, Chavakuk, Yoel, and Nahum, Yeshaya was killed. And then Yirmiyah may have been alive. I don't know if he was alive when Yeshaya was alive. May have been alive. But anyway, he didn't become a Navi. He didn't become an official Navi until the 13th year of Yoshiah's reign. That's what ended up happening over there. Now, after Yoshiah was killed, Yehoahaz was crowned king, and he ruled for only 3 months. Paro Necho had him arrested, brought to Egypt, and he died there. His brother Yehoyakim, that was Yoahaz, his brother Yehoyakim, also a son of Yoshiah, he was crowned king. He was an extremely evil person. He's the one that did all that Avodah Zarah and tattooed Hashem's name on that part of his body. Right? He ruled Yehuda for 11 years altogether. By this time, Yirmiyah was prophesying that Nebuchadnezzar was coming. and that Bubba was going to take over, and he was informing the people that they should not fight against Bubba, that Bubba is going to be there completely. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar invaded the land in the fifth year of Jehoiakim. He made him his vassal for 3 years altogether. Jehoiakim rebelled against him in his eighth year of the rule, right? And at that moment, when he rebelled, Yirmiah had Baruch ben Neriah read publicly Eicha in front of the people. Jehoiakim grabbed the sefer, tore it up into different sections, and burned it piece by piece. That's what ended up happening with Eicha. Jehoiachin, right, was crowned king after Jehoiakim was taken into exile after rebelling against Nebuchadnezzar for 3 years. So this is Jehoiachin. Again, we had Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim, who were brothers, sons of Yoshua, became king. Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, ended up becoming king. He was king only for 3 months. At this point, right, Jehoiachin, unfortunately, he was taken prisoner, and there were lots of bad things that happened. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Mordechai, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, they were all brought into Golos at that point. Jehoiachin was brought to Babel, languished in prison for 37 years until he was released by Evel Merodach, Nebuchadnezzar's son and successor. Zedekiah then became the last king of Israel. Yirmiah is still alive. After Yechaniah was brought to Babel, the uncle of Jehoiachin, the brother of Jehoiakim and Jehoahaz, right, he ended up becoming king. He changed his name from Matisyah to Zedekiah. Okay, at that time, Yirmiah started speaking out consolation prophecies and started talking about the downfall of Babel and the coming of Mashiach. He told them that they would be there for 70 years. That's what Yirmiah told them. They'd be there for 70 years, and this was scary. He's prophesying that Babel's end would come very, very soon. Nebuchadnezzar treated him with a crazy amount of respect, even though he sent them a scroll about their eventual downfall. Right, and later on, obviously we know, Zedekiah rebelled as well against the king of Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar came to quell He came to quell the revolt, laid siege on Yerushalayim. When did he start the siege? Asar HaBetavis, right? That's when he came through. Yirmiah was caught during that time prophesying against the Jews, and he was imprisoned in the house of Yonasan the scribe. Because of Zedekiah, he's brought into a bigger jail that was a little bit easier from there. Yirmiah was then commanded to buy the field of Hanamel, as we'll see, and to preserve the bill of sale because the Jews were guaranteed to eventually return to Eretz Yisrael. That happened in Zedekiah's 10th and final year of rule. That's when he was told to do that. On the 7th of Av, well, we all know the 17th of Tammuz is when they got through the walls, right? Oh, 9th of Tammuz, right. Then it's Akasha, we'll see. But the 9th of Tammuz that happened, on the 7th of Av, they breached the walls of Yerushalayim 3 weeks old. They got 3 weeks earlier. The Babylonians entered the Beis HaMikdash area. For the next 3 days, they pillaged, looted, did everything, and they set fire to the Beis HaMikdash on the end of the 9th of Av, right? It lasted until the 10th of Av, and that's when the Beis HaMikdash was totally destroyed. Gedaliah ben Achikam became the mayor, or the governor, whatever you want to call it, and Yirmiah told all the people, don't worry, Gedaliah is a good person, okay? So Nebuzaradan, so to speak, not Reish Galusa, no, he was in Eretz Yisrael, he was the Nasi, so to speak. Nebuzaradan, the general of Nebuchadnezzar's army, was told to ask Yirmiah what he wanted to do. Did he want to stay with the Jews in Yerushalayim, or do you want to go to Babel? Yirmiah asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, stay here. And therefore, because he was told to stay there, he joined Gedaliah, who was allowed with a garrison of Babylonians that would be Chasdeans that were going to take care of him, and they waited there. Obviously, we know what happened. Yishmael ben Netanya killed Gedaliah ben Achikam on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, or on the 2nd of Tishrei, a bit of Machlok is when that happened. But regardless, Gedaliah was assassinated, and then the people went to Yirmiah and they said, what do we do? Should we stay here, or should we go to Egypt? Which one should we do? Yirmiah took 10 days to receive a prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he was so upset. After 10 days, he told them, stay here. The people people had already decided they were gone. They couldn't wait any longer. They went down to Egypt. Jeremiah joined them on their way to Egypt to help them, crying the whole way through, saying that their destruction would be at the hand of the Egyptians and eventually Alexander the Great, prophesying that Greece was going to come and destroy them. Right, which happened much, much later. But regardless, saying that something was going to happen. Right? And then there's Akasha where Jeremiah died. Did Jeremiah die there in Egypt? Did he go back to Israel? Did he eventually move to Babel? There's Machlokas. What exactly happened to Jeremiah? But that is that. Now, as a side over here, Jeremiah was already ordained by Hashem as a prophet before his birth. He was told to say severe words of Musar to even the kings and the noblemen, and to be able to say it without any fear of retribution whatsoever. Not like Yechezkel, who really was talking to himself while he was in Babel, along with all the great men there. It wasn't like that. Jeremiah had the undesirable job of going up to the king and tell him that he's wrong and that he's an idiot for doing what he's doing. Many, many times over, he kept telling that. Jeremiah was frightened, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu assured him that he would grant him protection from all of his enemies and he would be fine. That's when Jeremiah agreed to do this mission, and it was going to be fine. Now, people hated him. The people of Anassos did terrible things to Jeremiah. That was his own town, his own city. They did terrible things to Jeremiah. They spread slander on him. They imprisoned him. He was thrown in a pit. Bad things had happened, but nonetheless, he always escaped death. No matter what happened, he was able to escape death. He kept saying over his prophesying, and he tried to stop. He tried saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't stand this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not allow him to stop. That's what ended up happening. Now, even though there is a lot of rebuke, and we're going to see the first 20 odd prukim of Jeremiah are pretty much Gehenna in a box, and it's going to be really, really bad. Just, you're going to die in a box, you're going to die with a box, you're going to die here, you're going to die there, you're going to die everywhere, right? And you do not like them at all. Nonetheless, toward the end, it starts becoming comfort and consolence. He becomes a consoler of Klal Yisrael, knowing that's going to be, unlike Yeshaya, Jeremiah is mostly in order. Not totally, but mostly in order that goes through his entire life. Jeremiah warned everybody not to fight. Okay, we said that whatsoever, and he still held. Okay, that's that. What else do we have over here? He wrote Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis. He wrote Eicha as well as Jeremiah, most of Jeremiah up until the very, very last part. Okay, that's that. We include Jeremiah in the last, obviously, the last of the Nevi'im, with Yeshaya, Yechezkel, and the Treyas are all together, right? And that's the idea behind it, but he did write up all of these things together. Yeah.
What separated him from all the other heavy hitters that he was around? The fact that they were in Babel?
He's one of the only ones that was still in Eretz Yisrael. Remember, the very first people that were exiled were all the Talmidei Chachamim, Tzaddikim, and the great Nevi'im. Those were all the ones there. Think about it. Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Ezra, Nehemiah, all of them, Mordechai, they all went to Babel with the first Golos.
Much older than that.
He must have been much older. He must have been one of the oldest people there. Although they say that Mordechai was really old, but yeah, I would assume Jeremiah was one of them.
Mordechai'd be old. I mean, he's living for another 7 years now.
I mean, if we take the Medrash Rabbah, that Esther, at the time when she was taken by Nebuchadnezzar, was 74 years old, and that was his niece, you'd assume he was really old.
That was just really strange.
It is. It's a strange one. But nonetheless, if we take that to be literal, then we do have an idea that Mordechai was very, very old. We don't know how old, but I mean, we're talking about the uncle. We're going to stop at this point now. I don't think we're going to start Jeremiah itself. We're going to talk about everything about Jeremiah over the next, and it's good stuff. Oh, it's just going to be, just get your tears on, because it's kind of sad. Try, guys.